John chapter 21. Book of John chapter 21. To read verses 15. Well, let's begin reading with verse 14 through verse 22. Book of John chapter 21, verses 14 through verse 22. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou would. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken thus, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. We see in verse 1, after these things, which would be after the resurrection, after his appearance to Mary, and twice to the disciples, once when Thomas was absent, once when Thomas was present. So two times to the disciples, which brings us to verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. So this is the third appearance of Christ to the apostles. Not all 12 were present at this time, because we read in verse 2 of those that were present, there was Simon, there was Thomas, there was Nathanael, and there were the sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John, and then there were two other of his disciples. And most people believe that those two other, though it really doesn't matter, believe that they were Philip and Andrew, simply because of where this was taking place, and this is the area that they would have lived. But so we see that this appearance of Christ concerns these that we read of in verse 2. Now you remember the second appearance when Christ appeared and Thomas was there. That appearance, though all the apostles were there, that appearance was primarily for Thomas. Thomas is the one who benefited from that particular appearance or manifestation of Christ. In this particular appearance, it's not Thomas that Christ is there for, it's Peter. And we see that Peter is the one who benefits the most from this particular appearance of Christ. Really, this is a defining moment in Peter's life. But what we want to do is look at what Christ says in verse 19 and verse 21. Twice he tells Peter, follow me. And I believe that's the main message to Peter in these verses, is follow me. And I believe everything else that Christ says to Peter somehow relates to that command, follow me, follow me. It all leads up to what Christ is going to tell Peter follow me. So everything is going to lead up to that instruction to Peter, follow me. And I believe what Christ says to Peter and why he addresses Peter in this passage all goes back to Peter's fall, when Peter denied the Lord three times. You remember, when Christ arose, he told the women, "Go tell my disciples and Peter. Go tell my disciples and Peter." Peter being included in disciples, but he wanted to specifically mention Peter because, again, it's hard to say what was going through Peter's mind after he had denied the Lord three times. But the Lord is going to restore Peter. So, again, Peter has to be reminded of what he did. He denied the Lord. Now, if you keep a mark there and go back to Matthew chapter, well, lost my, can't think of which verse I want. Matthew 26, I believe it is. I can't think of the verse I want right now. Now, let's just go back to the book of John, chapter 21. But remember, Peter said, "Though all deny thee, not I. I'll never deny thee." And yet, Peter denied the Lord three times. And I believe everything Christ says to Peter here goes back to that statement that Peter made. "Though all deny thee, I never will." So, the context of John 21 reveals the foundation and the importance of follow me. The chapter opens with emptiness. We see that in verse 3, the chapter, they were out fishing it in the evening. In the latter part of verse 3, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. That night they caught nothing. Well, and then verse 4 brings us into the next day. "But when the morning," so now it's morning, "but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore." So they fished through the night, they caught nothing. Now it's morning, and they still haven't caught anything, because in verse 5, "Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No." Still haven't caught anything. Been fishing through the night. We fished here in the morning. We have nothing. And then in verse 6, Jesus gives them some instruction. He says, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship." Now, I believe they had been all night long and in the morning casting the net on both sides of the ship, all sides of the ship. But now Jesus says, "Cast the net on the right side." And Jesus, in his sovereignty, directed the fish unto the right side of the ship. The Lord, of course, can do that. It's not that they were fishing from the wrong side of the ship all night long. They were experienced fishermen. They knew what they were doing. But we see here that Jesus gives them instruction. And when they followed the Lord's instruction, they had so many fish, of course, that they had a very difficult time bringing the fish to land. So when Christ said to Peter, "Follow me," in verses 19 and verse 21, he's also telling him there, here's the way to avoid having nothing. Follow me. Here's the way to avoid having nothing. Follow me. Do what I say. Just follow my instructions. And that's how the chapter opens, with them catching nothing, then following Christ's instruction, and now they've caught a multitude of fishes. And then we see in verse 12, after they've caught these fish, Peter has gone to Christ. He, of course, jumped out of the boat and went to the shore. And in verse 12, we see that Jesus had already cooked a meal. He had his own fish. "And Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. So now Jesus invites them to come and dine with them, with him. And then in verse 15, the meal is over. So when they had dined, so they had come, they had dined with Christ. There's some time, of course, that passed during this time. And following the meal, Jesus asked Peter three times. He turned to Peter. He didn't ask any of the other disciples, but he turned specifically to Peter and asked Peter three times, Lovest thou me? Verse 15, verse 16, and verse 17. And this is, again, everything's building up to, everything's leading to, follow me. That's the stimulus for following Christ, is love. Love to the Lord is what will lead us to follow Christ. It's only those who truly love the Lord that are going to truly follow Christ, that are going to truly obey the call, follow me. Now, we see that he asked the question three times. I believe the reason for that was because Peter denied the Lord three times. And when the Lord asked the question the third time, it was then that Peter was grieved because he said unto him, The third time. It wasn't that Peter was grieved because he got tired of asking the questions. It was that third time. It was that third time that got to Peter, because now Peter is reminded once again he had denied the Lord three times. And in those questions, he asked Peter in verse 15, Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? And we've heard this preached so many times that he's asking Peter, Do you love me more than these fish? That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. The Lord is not asking Peter, Do you love me more than these fish? But do you love me more than these? Then who? Well, go back to verse 2. More than Thomas, more than Nathanael, more than James and John and the two other disciples. Do you love me more than these? Matthew 26:33. That's the verse I was looking for before. You go back there and you see Peter again, though all deny thee, though all these other apostles deny thee, I never will. What did Peter do? He called into question everyone else's love for the Lord, but he said, I'll never stop loving you, Lord. And now the Lord asked him, Do you love me, Peter, more than these? These didn't deny me. You denied me three times. Do you love me more than these? So this is a reminder to Peter, again, that he had fallen. And this is necessary if someone is going to be restored. This is what people try to bypass today. Well, we'll bypass the sin. We'll bypass what we did, and we just want to be restored. Well, it doesn't work that way. You can't bypass what happened. We have to be reminded of that. And the Lord is reminding Peter of that. Well, they're not going to feel very good about themselves. No kidding. Peter was grieved. Peter was grieved when the Lord said the third time, because Peter was reminded, I've denied the Lord three times. And he's rebuked also for calling into question the other apostles' love and assuming that he loved the Lord more than they did. And then the Lord, after each question, Lovest thou me? He directed Peter to do something. He said, Lovest thou me? Peter would answer the question, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And then the Lord would tell him to do something. After the first question, he said, Feed my lambs. After the second question, he said, Feed my sheep. And after the third question, he said, Feed my sheep. In other words, Peter, if you love me, love has to express itself in practical ways. So if you love me, do this. If you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. In other words, he was telling Peter, I want you to nourish my people. I want you to encourage them. I want you to boost them. And then when Christ said to Peter, Follow me, he was telling Peter how to fulfill, how to fulfill what the Lord had told him to do. When he said, follow me, he was telling him how to avoid a life of emptiness. He was telling him how to fulfill, how to show his love for the Lord, how to express his love. You follow me. This is what stimulates you to follow Christ, is to love Christ. And now he's saying, here's how you do what I tell you to do. You follow me. Everything is leading up to follow me. And then the Lord speaks to Peter about his life and about his death. And we see that in verse 18. He said, verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou would. You put on your own clothes. You had freedom to go here. You had freedom to go there. You had the ability to go here and there, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. Now, a lot of people, if you don't read any further, would automatically assume, well, when Peter is old, he's going to be feeble, and that's what the Lord is telling him here. But that's not what the Lord is telling him, because verse 19 says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. You said, Peter, when you were young, you put on your own clothes and you go wherever you wanted to go. But there's coming a day, Peter, when you're going to be old and you're not going to have that freedom, and people are going to carry you to your death. He would die the death of a martyr. Again, this spake he, signifying the death that he should glorify God. Again, leading up to follow me. What's that saying? Is saying, Peter, when you're young, follow me. Peter, when you're old, follow me. Now, at this point, Peter wasn't young. He said, when thou wast young, and then he said, when you shall be old. He wasn't young, he wasn't old. He was in between. And so whether you're young, follow the Lord. Whether you're in between young and old, follow the Lord. And if you're old and feeble, follow the Lord. In other words, in every aspect of our life, regardless of age, that's our responsibility. Follow me. Follow me. That is always our responsibility. No matter what the circumstances are, we need to get this into our hearts. Whatever the circumstances are, whatever is going on in our life, whatever is going on in the lives of those whom we love, follow me. That is our responsibility, to just follow Christ. And this is what the Lord is telling Peter, because this is where Peter went astray. He ceased to follow. And the reason he ceased to follow was because he became built up in pride. He thought that he was stronger than anyone else. He had more love than anyone else. He had more conviction than anyone else. And Peter denied the Lord. But the Lord is telling Peter, whether young, in between, or old, Peter, this is what I want you to do. I want you to follow me. Regardless of the situation, follow me. Regardless of your past. Peter has denied the Lord three times. So what's that mean? Does that mean the rest of his life is over and ruined? No, the Lord says, follow me. Regardless of your past, put the past in the past and leave it there and follow me, is what the Lord is saying. What people do today, again, you can't undo. What you did in the past, you cannot undo it. Can't be done. But you don't have to live in the past. You don't have to keep bringing the past up. You just follow the Lord. Okay, I failed in the past. But today my responsibility is to follow the Lord. And if all you're going to do is dwell in the past, guess what? You're not going to follow him today either. And pretty soon your whole life will be over. And you haven't followed him at all. So regardless of the past, regardless of the present, whatever's going on, and regardless of the future, whatever it's going to be, our responsibility is follow me. That we are called upon to do every single day. We should never be confused about that. That is my duty. That is my responsibility today. No matter what happened yesterday, no matter what I think is going to happen tomorrow, my responsibility today is to follow Christ. That's true of all of us. That is always true. We cannot become delusional about this. We must not lose sight of our responsibility. And this does require focus. The first time that the Lord said to Peter in verse 19, "Follow me," Peter immediately, he heard what Christ said, but it didn't take him long to lose his focus. And it doesn't take long. Christ says, "Follow me," and in a matter of minutes, you and I have completely lost our focus. We say, "Yeah, I'm going to follow him. I know what he's saying is right, and I'm going to do it." And bam, we lose our focus, and we forget all about following Christ. And notice in verse 20, "Then Peter turning about." He just turned around. That's all he did. He turned around, and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John. He saw John following, and this is the one of John. He describes John. He's the one who leaned upon Christ's breast and asked the question. "Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do?" You see, all he saw was John. He saw John following Christ, couldn't help what he saw, but immediately he lost the focus. "I am to follow Christ." And now he jumps to, "And what is John going to do? What do you got for John to do?" And the Lord answered the question, "If I will that he tarry till I come, if I will that he take it easy till I come," what is that to you? Follow me. In other words, Peter, you've lost your focus. Get refocused. Follow me. You follow me. Don't worry about John. You follow me. And how often we are going along and we lose our focus. All it takes is we look at someone else and our focus is, we've lost our focus. All we do is we begin to think, well, you know, so-and-so isn't doing their part. We've lost our focus. What's our part? Our part's to follow the Lord. And I can't do that if I'm worried about what so-and-so's doing. All I can do is worry about myself as far as fulfilling responsibility. And he says, so, Peter, it doesn't matter what John does. Your responsibility, no matter what John does, your responsibility has not changed. You're to follow me. And no matter what anybody else does in Home Baptist Church, that does not change my responsibility, that does not change your responsibility to follow the Lord. They can mistreat you, they can be lazy, they can do nothing, or whatever. Doesn't change your responsibility. Your responsibility is to follow the Lord. So I believe what he's telling Peter here in verse 22 is, Peter, focus. I told you to follow me. And you've already lost your focus. You're already worried about John. Peter, doesn't matter what John does, you follow me. So our responsibility, no matter what happens, no matter what anybody else does, no matter what we think anybody else has done, that does not change our responsibility. Our responsibility remains the same every single day. We are to simply follow the Lord. And that's what we need to concentrate on. Each one of us as individuals need to concentrate. We need to be focused. I need today to follow the Lord. No matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances, come what may, my responsibility is to follow the Lord. No matter what Brother Mark Smith does, my responsibility is to follow the Lord. No matter what Brother Wayne does or Brother Dwayne does, no matter what anybody else does not change my responsibility. Doesn't change anyone's responsibility. Our responsibility is to follow the Lord. So that leads us to ask, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to follow Christ? Well, to follow Christ is to come to him. It is to go after him. It is to accompany him. It is to be in his attendance. In other words, it's fellowship with Christ. It's going with Christ. Wherever he goes, we go. That's what it means to follow. Wherever he goes, we go. If he goes through the fire, we go through the fire. If he goes through the deep waters, we go through the deep waters. Wherever he goes, we go. And nothing changes that. Well, everybody else is going this direction. That still doesn't change your responsibility. Your responsibility is to follow Christ. The whole church may be going in the opposite direction. Your responsibility is to follow Christ. That's true of all of us. To follow Christ is to imitate him. That's our responsibility. No matter what someone else does to me or what I think they've done to me, my responsibility is to be Christ-like. My responsibility is to imitate Christ. That's our responsibility. That, again, that it's like a broken record that never changes. We are to be like Christ. It means to accept his authority. If you're going to follow Christ, that means that you accept and you submit to the authority of Christ. That's always our responsibility. To follow Christ means to listen to him. It means to watch him very, very closely. In other words, it means to pay very, very close attention to what Christ is telling us. That is my responsibility. That is your responsibility. That is the responsibility of each one of us. Now, all through the Gospels, on several different occasions, Christ said to different individuals, "Follow me." Two words. Two words that sum up the Christian life. Follow me. You cannot be in God's will without following Christ. You cannot be where you ought to be. You cannot be what you ought to be without following Christ. It means to draw close to him. When he says, "Follow me," he says, "Come closer. Come closer to me." No matter what happens tonight, my responsibility is to draw closer to Christ. That's my responsibility. Nothing changes that. That's your responsibility. Nothing changes that. So it's an immediate call. It is a call to unquestioning service. We see when he called the apostles, "Follow me," they did what? They dropped their nets and they followed Christ. They left their livelihood and followed Christ. You see, livelihood doesn't change your responsibility. "Well, my job doesn't permit me to do such and such." Your job doesn't change your responsibility. Your job does not change your responsibility to follow Jesus Christ. "Well, I've got all these other responsibilities, and therefore I just don't have the time to serve the Lord like I would like to," but the Lord understands. Don't you see? Your responsibility is to follow Christ. No matter what your responsibilities are, no matter how many they are, that doesn't change your main responsibility. Is always to follow Jesus Christ. "Follow me" is a call to separation. It is in order to follow Christ, you have to leave where you are and follow him. You cannot stay where you are if he's going somewhere else and at the same time follow him. So it is a call to leave something behind. And that's where the difficulty comes in so many times. People don't want to leave anything behind. "Well, the Lord wouldn't expect me to leave my family." Show me that in the Word of God. Show me an example of that in the Word of God. I can show you many, many places where God called individuals to leave their family. "Well, God wouldn't expect me to leave my grandchildren." Where do you get that? That's your own thinking. That's your own human reasoning. That's not Bible. The Lord just says, "Follow me." Follow me. That's your responsibility. "Well, my grandchildren, follow me. My children, follow me. My husband, follow me." That is our responsibility. So it's a call to separation. It's a call to obedience. You can't follow Christ if you don't obey Christ. It's a commitment. When the Lord is telling Peter, "Follow me," and he told him that twice, he is calling Peter to a life of commitment. This isn't just an interest. It's a commitment.
And there is a difference between having an interest and having a commitment. If I have an interest, if it rains tomorrow, it may keep me from my interest. But if I have a commitment, nothing's going to keep me from a commitment other than death or hospitalization. It's not going to keep you from a commitment. This, an inconvenience will keep you from an interest. And the sad truth is we have a lot of God's people who have a little bit of interest in Christ. And it doesn't take much for them to put aside that interest. The slightest inconvenience, something else comes up, off they go. Because they have an interest. But the Christian life is not just an interest, it's a commitment. And so it is a commitment to follow Christ. And I understand today there's a commitment phobia today, and people are afraid to be committed to anything. You don't have to be afraid to be committed to Jesus Christ. There are a lot of things that you ought to fear becoming committed to. You ought to fear becoming committed to a job. You ought to fear that. Because you become so committed that you're no longer committed to what you ought to be. Or recreation, or and on the list can go. There are many things we ought to fear commitment of. But one thing we should never be afraid to commit to, and that's Jesus Christ. Never be afraid to commit entirely to Jesus Christ. We can sing, "I surrender all," but I doubt seriously that anyone who's ever lived has surrendered all. Surrendered it all. But that's what we're called upon to do. This is a personal call. Notice in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou." The thou is personal. Peter, no matter what John does, this is between me and you. You are to follow me. You're to follow me. So the excuse today, well, everybody's doing it, that doesn't work. Because you're to follow Christ, no matter what everybody else is doing. It is a call that is never, ever out of season. As we've already said, no matter what your age, no matter what your circumstance, no matter what your situation, it is never, ever out of season. It is never inappropriate. It is never wrong to follow Christ. It is never wrong. I don't care how many people rebuke you for it. I don't care how many people disagree. It is never wrong to put Christ first. Never. Never. And I guarantee you, if you make a practice of putting Christ first, you will be rebuked by many church members. But it doesn't matter. None of that changes your responsibility. Follow me. Whatever is up ahead, follow Christ. Whatever it is you think is up ahead, because many times we think something's up ahead and it's really not. Whatever it is, our responsibility is to follow Christ. The best possible life that you can have on this earth is a life following Christ. You're not going to lose. You're not going to come up on the short end by following Jesus Christ. It may cost you some things. It will cost you some things. But you're not going to lose if you follow Christ. The most productive life that you can live is to follow Christ. Just follow the Lord. Just follow Him. The most influential life you can live. The way to have the most influence in the lives of others is to follow Christ. People may not agree with you, and they won't. But you'll have an influence. You'll have a positive influence upon their life. And may I say, the most free life that you can have is to follow Christ. The most liberty we have is when we are following Jesus Christ. The most enjoyable life that you can live is a life following Jesus Christ. The most peaceful life that you can have is a life following Christ. You may not have peace with men, but you'll have a peace in your heart that passeth understanding. I'm telling you, it's the most peaceful life that you can live. Is a life of just following Christ. The safest life that you can live is a life following Jesus Christ. There is no safer life than to just follow Christ. The way of transgressors is hard, Solomon says. It's safe. It's safe to follow Christ. So two words, follow me. We need to hear those words every single day. When something happens and you don't know quite what to do, hear the Lord saying, follow me. Just follow me. You don't have to take matters into your own hand. You don't have to figure it out. The Lord just says, follow me. Just follow me. Just follow me. And if we would do that, we would prevent a lot of problems from ever occurring in our lives. We would prevent a lot of difficulties from ever coming into our lives. So every single day, hear the Lord say, follow me. When someone does something that you don't agree with, follow the Lord. When you're in the minority, follow the Lord. When everybody seems to be going the opposite direction, but you're sure this is where the Lord would want me to go, follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. You don't have to take an opinion poll. Follow the Lord. Just follow the Lord. You can't go wrong. Just follow Him. You will go wrong if you don't. You can't get lost following Christ. You can get lost. You can wander around in a maze once you cease to follow Christ and once you become focused on something else where you're no longer able to follow Christ. So again, two words. Follow me. And if we would just learn to obey those two words, how much better our churches would be, how much better our lives would be if we would just learn to follow Christ. We need to pray every day, Lord, you need to teach me today how to follow you. You teach me how to follow you. I want to follow you today, but you need to teach me just how I am to do that. You need to show me. You need to show me plainly. And it'll work. And it'll change your life. Brother Larry, if you'd come and